Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Bonnie Raitt goes indie. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, the 9-time Grammy Award winner joins us to talk about her very first self-released effort. It's called Slipstream. Plus, Indigo Girls member Amy Ray has a new solo album called Lung of Love, and she'll play some of it for us live. But first, there's no question about it, Bonnie Raitt is a musical giant with a career that spans 4 decades. She's released 16 studio albums, has earned those 9 Grammy Awards, made multi-platinum records, and been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But after an entire career of being signed to major record labels, last week she put out this new album called Slipstream, her first ever independent release. Bonnie Raitt joins me here in the studio. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, John. Hi, New York. And so, the tri-state area, I may add.
And everybody else listening on satellite
right, online,
and online
exactly
and
right.
All the rest. All of them will be hearing excerpts from an album that really, Bonnie, seems to be 2 albums in 1. To the point that you actually list in the liner notes Bonnie's band, Joe's band.
Oh, yeah. 2 different sessions.
Joe being Joe Henry, mm-hmm. who produced like almost half of the record. How did this record come about, these 2 halves?
Oh, well, actually, it's 4 songs and then 8 songs with my band. So, you know, most of it, a lot of the songs I had sort of in the list of things that I knew I wanted to record somewhere when the combination was right. But coming out of what I took a hiatus after the Taj Mahal tour in 2009. We did this wonderful national tour called Bontage Roulette. Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear, touring with the musician Taj Mahal.
Oh, yes.
You didn't tour.
I didn't tour the Taj Mahal, yeah. And so I had taken a hiatus and was thinking about when about a year had passed, I was kind of thinking about the songs I wanted to cut. And there was a Joe Henry song I knew I wanted to have on the record. And then it occurred to me that possibly working with him and his wonderful group of musicians would be a good idea. And I called, and he called me, and I was going to call him within a few weeks. So it was one of those synchronistic, great coming together of 2 people that were mutual fans and mm-hmm. had a lot of music in common. And in the exchange, he said, why don't you come here and try some things out at the studio, and, you know, I'll pay for the, you know, give you the place and do the catering, and you pick up, you know, this and that. And it ended up, we almost did a whole record, so which will come out down the line. But mm-hmm. we did it with his group of musicians, and that really whet my appetite for getting back into working on a new record. And so I called up my regular recording and touring band and said, let's book some rehearsal time and go in July.
Okay, but the stuff with Joe Henry was so good, you couldn't sit on it that long.
No,
you had to give us some of it right now.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to do a whole record with Joe because I would have left off a lot of the funky up-tempo rock and roll and reggae and stuff that I like to do. So it was daunting to find a way to meld the two, but we used the same engineer and he did a great job.
Now, 2 of the songs you did in the Joe Henry sessions are Bob Dylan songs. Mm-hmm. Not going back to the 60s, but somewhat more recent vintage Bob Dylan. Are you a fan of...
Big fan of his, you know, he's become, sonically and lyrically, he's always been a giant, but this particular band that he's had in the last few years and the last, you know, both these songs are from Time Out of Mind, one of the greatest records. And I'm as much a fan of his latest stuff as his early stuff.
We're speaking with Bonnie Raitt. Let's hear a little bit of the Dylan song Standing in the Doorway. This is from her new album, Slipstream.
I'm walking through the summer nights, jukebox playing low. Yesterday everything was going too fast. Today it's moving too slow. I got no place left to turn. I got nothing left to burn. Don't know if I saw you, if I would kiss you, kill you. It probably wouldn't matter to you anyhow. You left me standing in the doorway.
Bonnie Raitt, Standing in the Doorway, the Bob Dylan song. It's on her new album called Slipstream, which is, Bonnie, your first record on your own Red Wing record label.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Now, what was behind that decision?
Well, you know, my team and I've got a great management bunch of four great women that work with me, and we did a lot of research, and, you know, friends of ours who had gone independent were telling us, you know, my friend Beth Nilsson Chapman said, you'll love the math. And, you know, Jackson Brown is a good friend, like a brother to me, and his company has been having quite a bit of success going independent. And not to say anything against the labels, which are wonderful and making wonderful partnership deals with artists these days. Mm-hmm. I just personally thought if you have the right team, management team to run it, and you have a great distribution company and a good, you know, label manager and a fantastic PR firm, you can really, in this day and age, the way you deliver music is so different.
Right.
And record companies have imploded so much. And you can make an alliance with a team of people at a company and they'll be gone by the time your record comes out. So I just, we had all the places fixed that were, you know, all the things in place that we thought were really going to make it work. And it was very exciting. You know, it's going really well.
Well, you know, it occurs to me, you're here now. Amy Ray is following you on the show today. You know, two women who've made their way in what has traditionally been a man's world. Did you have control issues, especially when you were first setting out on this career path?
No, not me. I mean, I was very lucky in the sense that, you know, starting out in the beginning of where the feminist movement was really part of the generation. I was in college when all of that equal everything coming in, you know, sexual rights, you know, your turn at the food co-op, your turn with the dishes, you know, if a guy wanted to get laid, he better be stepping up to the plate, you know. I'm being facetious, but it really, it didn't even occur to me to sign a record. I would not have signed a record deal where I had to give up one bit of control over what I recorded, when and with whom. And so, you know, every aspect has been something that I've been involved with, you know, who I collaborate with and as producer. I mean, I've just picked all the songs and mm-hmm. been involved with the mixing and all that. And so it wasn't a question of a problem. It was more just literally, if you're going to sell less CDs, as CDs are selling less, partly because of downloading for free, which is an unfortunate thing that we're all working to, you know, just let people know that this is our jobs. You know, mm-hmm. it would be nice to get paid for what we do, and the songwriters as well. So it was just one of those things where a legacy artist like myself with an established fan base, you really can make more per CD purchase if you do it independently. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the impetus was financial, but a lot of it is just, you know, having the right people in the right positions.
Right. But it sounds like, and you're also, you know, you're used to calling your own shots. And
yeah, I mean, it wasn't anybody telling me how long the song should be or whether mm-hmm. to play more guitar or this or that. I had really great contracts with both Warner's and Capitol.
So how do you go about choosing the material? I mean, as you said before, this album comes after a lengthy hiatus. You must have been listening to a lot of stuff during the course of those years.
Well, actually, you know, when Souls of Light came out in 2005, we toured for 2 years. So mm-hmm. then after that, you know, it was a needed break. And my older brother had been fighting brain cancer, and he developed another tumor, although he lived 7 years longer than expected on a wonderful macrobiotic diet, which really gave him an extra, you know, 5 years than they expected. He did develop another tumor, and so I wanted to be with him. And unfortunately, in 2009, he lost that battle. And so during the time after the Taj Mahal tour in 2009, right after Steve passed, I wanted a break, period. I didn't want to listen to music for any purpose other than just soothing and inspiration, but not for once in 40 years not to always be planning my next record.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a complete Bonnie Raitt break, and I wanted to wait until I was ready to come back. And I did a lot of grieving, a lot of processing of stuff with losing my parents a few years earlier.
Right.
And so the process of song hunting is always the daunting one. I mean, for people that write all their own music, I don't even know how they do that, especially, you know, being married and having kids and taking care of ill parents or whatever, the lint of life. You know, there's people like Jackson who managed to juggle
Jackson
it all.
Brown, yeah.
And so I started listening, you know, before the hiatus, and as much as I didn't want to be focused on that, I had some songs in the hopper that I was interested in. And I just, after all these years of being a music fan, that's how I listen to hundreds of hours of, you know, recommendations. I do a lot of research, read a lot of magazine reviews, mm-hmm. ask my friends who they're listening to. And I do go back to the same family of songwriters that I've worked with before because there's right. an affinity there.
But there is a song on the new record that you co-wrote.
Yes.
And that's called Down to You. You don't write a lot, but what's the impetus? When do you feel a song coming on?
Well, in the case of Nick of Time, that song came because I had been sober a year and I was really grateful at the changes in my life. It was really like being reborn. I mean, I was one of the lucky people that didn't go screaming into jail or off to a, you know, mm-hmm. insane asylum. I mean, I had a pretty relatively high bottom, or so to speak, until... I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I would just, people that have gone through sobriety, that miracle that happens in your life is really so rewarding that I wanted to write a song about that. And mm-hmm. I pretty much write songs when I have something to say that isn't being said better by somebody else. Or said, you know, I write on assignment. I don't sit around, pick up the guitar and write all the time. So this, in this case of Down to You, I had a song that my guitarist is also a great solo artist and producer. He had a terrific rockin' song. And the lyrics just weren't something that related to what I wanted to sing. So I asked him if I could rewrite the words. And so I had a little idea fomenting and asked my friend Randall Bramlett. He came up with the line about you step out on the tracks in the pouring rain. When you get run over, you blame the train. So we all have friends like that, and we have elements of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're whining.
The album's called Slipstream. My guest is Bonnie Raitt. This song is called Down to You. Bonnie Raitt wrote that song, Down to You. Slipstream is her new record on her own Red Wing label. Bonnie Raitt is my guest on Soundcheck. Two redheads in a room talking music.
I noticed those freckles, John. And for those of you whose ears were blasted by me pounding on the table, I'm really sorry. Thank you for telling me.
Well, you're getting excited, you know?
We're
talking
excited about
music. Let me come back to something you said a moment ago. That, you know, when your parents had passed away and then you lost your brother, long battle with cancer, and you didn't want to listen to music, you know, as the Bonnie Raitt song hunter looking for the next, just for consolation.
Inspiration.
You know, what were you listening to back then? What kind of music would you listen to?
Well, it was really only a year that I took a break, and one of the things that was wonderful for a musician that tours all the time is to actually be home for four consecutive seasons. That was like the when people go, when are you going to go on vacation? It wasn't really a vacation because I did a lot of therapy and I did some remodeling, and you'd be surprised how much stuff piles up when you finally get home, that when you're on the road, it's like you get away with it. I'll deal with it when I come off. But I went to see my friend Carlos Varela from Cuba, who I did the Bridges to Havana gig with a bunch of musicians co-writing. I went to I saw Jackson a couple of times, Jackson Brown. Went to the symphony. Mm. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I went to hear a lot of African music and jazz and just enjoy being a fan again. And two times at the Harley Strickley Bluegrass Festival. So by the second time I saw Jackson, I could feel that stirring. My arm was starting to go, give me a guitar, give me a guitar. And I started, that's when I was going to call Joe, and I went, and that, you know, you get a taste for it, mm. and I knew it's what I was born to do. So I kind of missed it.
So Joe Henry, one of the two producers of the new record, Slipstream, and as you said before, there's more where that came from. That'll be another record
We went in to try like two or three songs to see how it would go. And we ended up cutting like nine in 2 days. So I do want those to see the light of day. I mean, Joe wrote a song for me, and we wrote a song together. And then not only was his repertoire, you know, Greg Lease, David Pilch, Patrick Warren, the guys that do a lot of his records and are backing up Ray LaMontagne a lot of the time.
These are amazing musicians.
But Bill Frisell agreed to come in and play on the session. So I definitely, we're going to release it. And when Slipstream has had a good shot, and we're on tour for 5 months in the States.
And I should mention, Bonnie Raitt is actually performing tonight on the Colbert Report and on Good Morning America, bright and early tomorrow morning.
Maybe we'll just stay up.
Right. And returning to New York to play two more conventional shows at the Beacon Theater, June 20th and 21st, a good way to start your summer. You performed at the Grammys with Alicia Keys, tribute to Etta James. Did you know her?
I did know Etta. We were very good friends and sat on the Rhythm and Blues Foundation board along with Lloyd Price and Chuck Jackson, Ruth Brown, and a lot of really wonderful fans of getting record royalties for rhythm and blues artists. And Etta was just one of my great inspirations as a singer, always. And, you know, one of the raunchiest and tenderest people at the same time. I just want to say what a great loss that was. But her autobiography, Rage to Survive, it was one of the greatest music books you'll ever read of that, you know, and that her era was, there's never, like Aretha, there's never going to be anybody like Etta.
You guys did A Sunday Kind of Love live at the Grammys. This is Bonnie Raitt with Alicia Keys.
I want a Sunday kind of love. Hey, Bonnie, hey. I want a love that's on the square. Need a Sunday kind of love. I don't want a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, nothing but Sunday. Yeah. Oh, I want a Sunday.
Bonnie Raitt and Alicia Keys live at this year's Grammys with Sunday Kind of Love, a tribute to the late Etta James. And Bonnie Raitt is with me on Soundcheck today. You talked about writing, you know, when you got sober, writing a song to kind of celebrate that. It's now an anniversary of that, right? You marked
25
years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the occasion of the Grammys was sort of, you know, colored by the death, the recent death of Whitney Houston, added a kind of a different tenor to the proceedings that night. And there is a song on the new album called Marriage Made in Hollywood, which seems to kind of talk about that sort of thing, that someone, you know, who's succumbed to the pressures
of
that life.
That was a true story. It was written by my ex-husband, Michael O'Keefe, who's an actor for a living but a fine poet. And we collaborated on a couple of songs on Luck of the Draw and Longing in Their Hearts years ago. And this is a song Paul Brady, the Irish kind of Paul Simon, very, very respected, wonderful artist there. He had put on a previous record, so it's been ready. I've been waiting to record it. But it's just about a true story about a guy who succumbed to drug addiction, an actor, you know, surprise, can't get arrested. And in his death, he landed on the front of the New York Post.
The song is called Marriage Made in Hollywood. Again, Bonnie Raitt's new record called Slipstream.
Jimmy's not a high-concept guy, but his front-page news, let me tell you why. He's on the cover of the New York Post, every network coast to coast. All he needed was a hot night in June, 'cause he had the needle and he had the spoon. When he spiked it, bit him, man, he flew into America's living room. We all love tragedy, and it loves us too.
In a moment, we continue our conversation with Bonnie Raitt. And then later, a live performance from singer-songwriter Amy Ray. You may know her as half of of the Indigo Girls. She's got a new solo release. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now with singer, songwriter, and guitarist Bonnie Raitt. In 1989, she released this multi-platinum album, Nick of Time, which landed her at the top of the Billboard 200 and a spot on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. Bonnie Raitt's got a new record out called Slipstream. She's with me here in the studio. And Bonnie, let me read you a comment on our webpage. Allison from the Upper West Side describes herself as longtime fan, a broad of a certain age, and asks, I'd love to know what Bonnie's take on live performance is these days. It's not what we grew up with.
Really? For me, I'd have to say, maybe because I'm the daughter of somebody that did it all the time, John Raitt, musical comedy, you know, starred in Carousel in Oklahoma and Pajama Game. So I grew up watching my dad have that for a living, work at night and love it. So for me, it's the same excitement as when I was 21, maybe less nervous than I used to be when I played the Gaslight. But live performance for me is great. And I think in my demographic, which is spans a couple of generations maybe, right. But there's still not the entire audience holding up a phone.
Right.
Because when I go hear somebody that's from a younger generation, sometimes I wonder what that's like to look out and see that people, I'm not sure they're enjoying it, the live experience, you know, but who knows? Maybe they're just capturing it.
And I wonder if Allison meant your take on live performance, you performing live, or, you know, the way concerts have sort of evolved in the world of electronic music, for example.
Yeah.
You know, we talked on the show last week about DJ culture and
people use loops and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
and,
you know, for me, I just, no pyro, no dancing, no smokes, you know.
So, you talked a little bit about this earlier, you know, being a guitarist, a woman, carving your own niche, you know, your own path in what was, you know, when you first came on the scene in the 70s, still very much a man's game. How hard was it to kind of, you know, gain a reputation for the guitarist that you were, you know, back in the 70s when you started?
You know, right off the bat, I think I got my foot in the door because I played guitar, you know, blues guitar in a way that most women didn't. I mean, there was Ellen McElwain and some other people, that Joanne Kelly in England. But in general, you know, Rory Block is still one of the greatest guitar players and blues purveyors, you know, just incredible. Great admiration for her. And there's a slew of great women guitarists that don't get credit.
I wonder if Rory Block, though, I wonder if the fact that people just looked at the name and said, oh, he must be a really good blues guitarist.
Wow.
You know, I mean, the first time I met Rory Block, I was like, oh,
yeah,
you're Rory.
But, you know, I came out of the folk scene, too. So, there's a lot of great instrumentalists of male and female. You know, Sean Colvin and Joni Mitchell are great guitarists. Joan Armatrading. But I would say instead of being, it didn't seem like, you know, the executives of the record business are still, it's still a man's business too much. And in terms of, you know, it wasn't until college radio and really the 90s where women instrumentalists could be in bands and it was more egalitarian.
Mm-hmm.
But there, in the blues and metal, there's less female just because the lyrics tend to be, I don't know. I mean, some of the greatest blues songs and the singers of all time have been the classic blues singers. And that's the tradition I am in the slipstream of. So I do think that playing guitar strongly has really cut me apart from a lot of the others and probably got me where I am today. So I got nothing but thanks for that.
We're speaking with Bonnie Raitt, and this is from 1972, the album Give It Up and the song Love Me Like a Man.
Never seen such losers, darling, even though I tried to find a man who could take me home instead of taking me. I know you can.
Bonnie Raitt from 1972's Give It Up, That's Love Me Like a Man. Bonnie Raitt, singer and guitarist, and the force behind the new album called Slipstream. You said before that, you know, all this, like, great blues, you're kind of in the slipstream. Is that where the title for the record comes from?
I named it that because it gave me a jumping-off point for interviews. There's usually a song that lends itself, but in this case, there wasn't one. And, you know, when people say, so what's different about this record, I do such a broad range of material that, for me, what's different is 12 new songs that I can't wait to play live. And that's what drives me for saying something new and grooves that I haven't played or new ways of playing them. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the slipstream of everybody that in those styles that came before, and hopefully I'm inspiring some people coming after.
Well, that was, yeah, who do you see and who do you hear gaining on you in your slipstream?
There's so many great instrumental players I don't know, Winona and Susan Tedeschi. I mean, I don't think I influence them. They just listen to the same people that I did. But I think there's, you know, I did the Letterman show the other day, and they were taping, you know, Brittany Howard from the Alabama Shakes. Mm. You know, there's a whole lot of roots music that, you know, the Black Keys doing so well and the White Stripes. You know, all those people, there's a new generation of men and women that are falling in love with roots blues music. So I salute it.
And, you know, among your many vocal fans, Adele.
Yes,
you know,
I'm so pleased that she's
a juggernaut from England. And Justin Vernon, better known as Bon Iver, you know, soft-spoken, soft-singing folky, who then goes and plays with Kanye West, and who recorded this version of I Can't Make You Love Me back in 2011. And we've been speaking with Bonnie Raitt. She is performing tonight on the Colbert Report and tomorrow on Good Morning America, and then back here in New York at the Beacon Theater June 20th and 21st. And as she has told us, no pyros during the live performance.
Now, Mavis Staples is my wonderful special guest, and she might have some pyro, but I doubt it.
All right. Bonnie, a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you, John. Thanks, everybody.
Tell me no lies. Just hold me close. Don't patronize.
Still to come, a live performance from Amy Ray, the singer-songwriter and half of the Indigo Girls. She'll join us here in the studio. And speaking of live performances, coming up next Wednesday, April 25th, we'll be downstairs in our ground floor performance venue, The Green Space, with Khaki King, the guitarist, and the string band Punch Brothers, led by mandolin whiz Chris Thiele. You can join us, too, next Wednesday, April 25th, live, 2 p.m. Visit the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck for details.
You can't remember he's pretending. Oh, what a summer. Chances.